Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, the third chapter, and we will read the first 10 verses of the third chapter of the book of Acts. I want to talk to you this afternoon on the connection between worship and healing. Now, my main goal is to find a connection between worship and healing. Now, in order to do that, I will do some brief study on worship and a brief study on healing. Now, as time progresses, maybe down the line, we can do more in-depth studies on the biblical teachings on healing and the biblical teachings on worship. But today we'll just kind of brush over them really quickly so that we can get really to the meat of the matter, which is how these two things connect. In Acts, the third chapter, beginning to read at verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking began to praise God." The Bible says that this man who had no strength received healing, and every time you read thereafter regarding this man's healing, he's either going into the temple, or he's praising God, or he's causing others to praise God. And I saw there then this correlation between healing and praise, or healing and worship. Now, what I'd like to first consider is that there are different kinds of healings and different ways of healing. With regard to the different kinds of healing, I would suggest at least four, one being spiritual healing, where we are made new, we are born again, God heals us. The same word for healing in the Greek language is also the word for saving. And so there is a spiritual healing where God raises us from the dead and gives us new life. And then there is a psychological healing, which involves the emotions, the intellect, and the will, or the desires, where God gets us thinking differently as a result of being made new. Remember what the Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," which basically means since you've been given a new mind, since you have been made new, you can now begin to think differently. You can now begin to feel differently. You can now begin to act differently. You can begin to will differently. So what the Lord is basically saying to us is that as Christian people, we have already received a spiritual healing. We have gone from death to life. The Lord didn't just come and make us better spiritually. He gave us life when we were dead. And then he says, now that you have life, now that you have new life, begin to think differently. You don't have to think the old ways anymore. And your emotions don't have to be overcome by the same things anymore. For instance, the Bible tells us that we don't grieve the way the world grieves. We don't get excited about the things the world gets excited about. We don't fear the things that the world fears, and so on. We don't want the things that the world wants. Why? Because we have been made new. Now, the spiritual healing being intact, we recognize that the psychological healing is more progressive. Sometimes we call that sanctification. So the spiritual healing we would call regeneration, being born again, being made new. And then the psychological healing is usually developmental. We call that sanctification, progressive sanctification. We find ourselves beginning to think differently, beginning to believe differently, beginning to be more convinced of what we believe and to be able to defend what we believe in, and defend it not just against people who don't believe what we believe, but more importantly, against the lie of the devil and the pull of the flesh. And so we are being healed in that sense. And of course, there is the social healing that takes place in our lives, whether it be in relationships. As we walk deeper in Christ, our relationships begin to change. Some relationships we have to end entirely because we recognize that they were impure and ungodly. Other relationships that were godly become better. Relationships that God can give his sanction to become more whole, become more healthy. They become more outgoing. They're no longer self-centered and things of that nature. Sometimes it's economic healing. God heals us financially. He changes our economic strata as we begin to live for him and as we begin to serve him and as we begin to give to his cause. And as we begin, all of a sudden we realize that either we get more money or we realize we don't need half the stuff that we have. We begin to recognize how to budget. We begin to recognize how to balance. Things begin to change in us because there is a healing going on. And then finally, there is physical healing, where God begins to stretch out his hands and begins to heal us in ways that we could never heal ourselves or that we could never expect that medicine will do, and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean, for instance, that all that God's healing is miraculous. He is able to use other means. And that's what I mean when I begin to say that there are different ways of healing. Speaking on all of these levels, but just let's focus in on physical for a half minute. There is a natural or progressive way in which God heals us. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and our body is healing itself all the time. Our body is fighting against things that we don't even realize are in there all the time. It is regenerating itself all the time. And when we are attacked by illness, then it just goes into overdrive, and sometimes it's enough for the body to simply do what it does naturally. And then there is medical healing, where God uses the wisdom and the giftings of doctors, and he helps us by giving them the insight, both doctors and chemists and scientists of other natures, the insight into how we can be healed by the things that are around us. And again, the wisdom and the giftings of surgeons and so on and so forth. We believe that even if it is not a supernatural healing, we still believe that all good things come from the Father above. Everything that happens that is good has its origin in the good character and the good nature of God. And so if God heals medically or if he heals naturally and progressively, it's still God who is healing. And then again, there is the supernatural or the miraculous, where there seems to be no particular process from sickness to health. And we pray and we ask God to do something. In many occasions, it's things that doctors can't do. When doctors say, "I'm sorry, as much as I would love to help you, there is nothing that I can do." Oftentimes, God will come through in ways that we have to acknowledge. If God doesn't do it this way, if God doesn't do it miraculously, if God doesn't do it supernaturally, it's just not going to happen. So we recognize, hallelujah, that these healings happen, and we give God glory for all of them. You know, when you come on Tuesday night and you hear the praise reports, people are talking about healing on all of these different levels. And then finally, there is the ultimate healing, or what we call glorification, the glorified state, the translation, where we put off this mortality and we put on immortality. In that sense, every Christian person will be healed. It might not be on this side of eternity, but it will certainly be on that side of eternity. Every one of us will eventually be healed. Now, I usually say to the Lord with regard to the ultimate healing, I'm like, you know, you can hold off on that one. You know what I mean? Work on the first three. And, you know, the ultimate healing we'll deal with later on in life. Because let's face it, you know, none of us wants to be ultimately healed that bad. You know what I mean? I mean, we want to be healed. But you know, we put up the ultimate healing for another 20, 30 years, that kind of a thing. But at any rate, we recognize that God heals in many ways and on many levels. Again, I want to talk to you for half a second on the idea of worship, because we're talking about the correlation between healing and worship. And as I mentioned earlier, there will be times when we will go into much, much greater detail on these. So right now, we're just going to give a thumbnail sketch so that we can get to the correlation. So expressions of worship. Now, this is not exhaustive. I'm just saying some of the things that come to my mind, but there are many other expressions. But I want to suggest that worship is a life lived before the Lord, as you know. So it begins with this idea of inward piety, where adoration and devotion and things of that nature begin to express themselves to God. It is simply an inner love for God, where our hearts simply want to live for Him. Everything in us wants to adore Him. Everything in us wants to live in His presence. Everything in us wants to bless Him. And this is a form of worship. Again, worship as moral purity. When we walk in obedience, when we walk in integrity, this is also a form of worship. So the way we feel about God and the way that we live in His presence. Again, worship as acts of charity, because Jesus would say, if you've done this to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so if my worship is only inward and upward, and if it's only in how I work out my own salvation, if you will, obviously we don't work for salvation, but since we are saved, it begins to have an outward expression, a working out, if you will. If it doesn't affect other people in a positive way, then it is lopsided. It's not healthy. It's not. So this is one of the things that the Lord wants to see happen in our lives. He wants us to worship outward. He wants us to do what we can to help other people. When we give, we talk about that sometimes. When we give in the offering, we say that's not, you know, something that's interrupting the worship service. It is an expression of worship. It's just another form of worship. And again, worship as biblical inquiry. In other words, the Lord is pleased when we inquire at His throne, when we open up the Holy Scriptures and we ask God, who are you? When we ask God, what are you like? When we ask God, what have you done? When we say, Lord, open to me the deeper things of the cross. Help me to understand what you did. Help me to understand why you did it. Help me to understand your nature. Help me to understand your character. Help me to understand you, because it's like anybody who loves another person, they just want to open the pages of that person again and again and again and go deeper and deeper and deeper and understand more and more and more. So when we inquire at the throne of the Lord with our Bibles open, God is blessed by that. And it's a form of worship. Again, there is worship as godly community when we fellowship with one another. When we are loving one another, when we are strengthening one another, when we're enjoying godly communion, that is a form of worship. When we rejoice in that which is made in the image of God and after His likeness, we are honoring God. So whether we're reaching out to the needy or whether we are communing with each other, these are forms of worship. But the one that I want to focus on is worship as an outward expression, such as prayer. But in this case, you know, it could fall under that category of inward piety. But also, I want to talk about the idea of public prayer. I want to talk about the idea of outward praise, the idea of preaching the idea of singing, anything that verbally or outwardly acknowledges to this generation who God is, what he's like, and what he's done. When we make mention of his name, when we bear witness to his goodness, when we intentionally and verbally help people to know who God is, what he's like, and what he's done, it brings with it a kind of healing. When I spend my days looking for ways to help people to know what God is like, as our brother was preaching this morning, when I acknowledge that I am not ashamed of the gospel, but when I bear witness to God, and when I do it, even in a society or in a setting that is not necessarily conducive to that kind of praise, it does something to me as a person. It brings healing into my situation. Whether it be psychological healing, oftentimes it brings physical healing, because what we're doing is we're asking God to give me the strength necessary to bear witness to your name. Give me the courage, give me the inner tenacity and the fortitude to make mention of your name, irrespective of the society that I happen to be living in, irrespective of the neighborhood where I happen to be living, irrespective of the job where I happen to be working. Help me, Lord, give me strength. Now that requires psychological healing. That requires physical strength sometimes, where we're saying, Lord, I can't praise you from the grave. Give me the strength that I need to bear witness to your name, Lord. Give me a such and such amount of time to make mention of your glory. We can say to the Lord at any time, whenever we're feeling sick or whenever we're feeling as though our bodies are giving up on us, and say, God, give me such and such amount more years to bear witness to your goodness. Give me such and such amount more years to make sure that somebody knows who you are. Give me such and such amount more years, not because I'm afraid, not because I don't know what's on the other side, but as Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I need to be here for a little while to help somebody to know what God is like and what he's done. And so there is this correlation. I want to worship you, Lord. Give me strength. I want to worship you, Lord. Give me a mind to do so. Help me to understand your ways so that I can perpetuate them outward. Give me the grace that I need to make mention of your glory in this generation. Lord, I have to worship you. I have to praise you. I have to make sure that somebody knows that God is good, that somebody knows that God is faithful, that somebody knows that God is true. Give me whatever it takes. Sometimes it just means a little bit of a financial blessing. Lord, let people know that, as David said, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let somebody know that God knows how to take care of his children. Let somebody know that God's house is still a house of bread. Let it be known, oh God. Bring healing into my situation that your name might be glorified. And you remember what's happening now with Peter and John. They are going to worship the Lord. It's not on their mind to heal anybody. They were simply worshiping. And I found that healing usually comes through worshipers. When worshipers are not necessarily focused on healing, but they're focused on God. And so these two men are going into the house of prayer because they want to worship God. And they want to do it in a public setting. They want people to see that God is worthy to be praised. They want people to know that they're going to church. They want to bear witness to the fact that irrespective of the society, I'm still praising Jesus. Irrespective of what the world is saying, I'm still praising Jesus. And they were doing it in a society that had just killed the Lord. And they said, I'm still going to go and bear witness to the fact. And they knew that there were people looking for them. And they knew that if they bore witness to this name, they would put themselves in danger. So for them to be a vessel of healing and for them, in a sense, to be healed, they had to put their health on the line. They had to say, if being a vessel of the Lord means putting myself in jeopardy and in danger, that's what I'm going to do because I got to worship God. See, in other words, they didn't say, I'm going to worship God so that I might be healed. They said, I'm going to worship God because he's God, even if it kills me. And as a result, there was healing. You see, you got a lot of church movements that are basically saying, worship God and you're going to be healed. They knew that to worship God meant they might be hanged. But they said, I got to worship God. I got to be in the house of the Lord. I got to be in the temple of the Lord. I don't care what it costs me. My God is worthy to be praised. My God is worthy to be honored. My God is worthy to be loved. And I'm going to find myself in the house of the Lord. And I don't care what it costs me. And when that's your mindset, you are being healed. Fear is being overcome. Trepidation, shame, all those things. An emotional, a psychological healing. A healing of the will that says, I will bless the Lord and I don't care what happens. I will praise him. I will honor him. I will love him. I don't care what the consequence. All of a sudden, because they're laying their life down, they're being healed. They're being given new life. They're being given strength. They're being given power. And now they're going out and they're saying, look, I'm just going to worship the Lord. And so worship is their goal and healing is a result. And then again, healing is seen as an expression of worship because, as we mentioned before, they weren't just going to go and worship God in a corner somewhere. They saw a man in need and they realized that part of their worship meant reaching out to that man. There were a lot of people going into the temple that day and some of them did what they could to help. But these men knew, I have something more than what this person is expecting. See, I have something that only the vessels of God have. Anybody can throw a nickel or dime into a cup. But I have something that brings life. I have something that brings strength. I have something that brings renewal. You see, you and I, we know we have something that the world didn't give us and the world can't take away. We have something that's unique. We have something that you don't just throw into a tin cup. They knew that part of worshiping God, don't get me wrong, we ought to do what we can to feed the hungry, and we do thank God as a church. But there is more that we bring to the table. We bring the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring health and hope and healing in Jesus' name. And if we allow ourselves by the power of the Spirit to see the need, then we will also allow ourselves by the power of that same Spirit to recognize that we can do something about it. Why would God show me the need if I can't do anything? Why would he give me a prayer burden if I can't do anything? Why would he make that a part of my worship if I can't do anything? You see, what God is saying is part of your worship is seeing the need. But more than that, healing is based upon very specific worship. See, we don't just worship. We don't have faith in our faith or in our capacity to believe. We believe in the faithfulness of God. We believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they said, in the name of Jesus, the King, they realized that even in the process of healing this man, I'm putting my life on the line. In that society, you didn't call anybody king but Caesar. Or Herod in his small little province under Caesar. In the name of Jesus, the King, rise up. In the name of Jesus, the King, get up. Now you understand, they were saying, if I have to fall so that you can rise up, then that's what's going to happen. When Jesus laid his hand upon the leper, it was understood one of two things is going to happen. Jesus is going to catch his leprosy, or that man is going to catch Jesus' purity. That man is going to catch Jesus' cleanliness. That man is going to catch Jesus' wholeness. That man is going to catch Jesus' healing. And when you and I worship God, when we worship God in such a manner that we are willing to lay our lives down, if that means somebody else rising up, if we worship God in such a manner that when we lay our hands upon the sick, there's something in us that says, along with David, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son." Would it to God that it were me in your place? Or we say along with Moses, "Oh God, blot me out of this book if we can just save somebody." Or we say along with Paul, "I could wish myself a curse for my people Israel." Every now and again, the Christian person decides that if I have to perish, I perish, but I'm going to help somebody along the way. I'm going to heal somebody. I'm going to touch somebody. I'm going to make a difference in this generation. And sometimes healing means laying your life down. If you're praying for somebody, you know how we do sometimes on Tuesday, and we fast a meal or two, because we know that we're praying for people who don't get to eat at all, whether they're poor or whether they're addicted. Go days without eating sometimes because they're chasing the drug, and we say, "Look, if I perish along with Esther, if I perish, I perish. But I got to help somebody. I got to heal somebody." And whenever we see those praise reports coming in, we know we had something to do with that. We know that we made a difference. When we come out to pray where we could be anywhere else, and we come out on a Tuesday night and lift up our hearts and lift up our voice to God, what we're saying is, "I believe that if I lay down my situation, lay down my right to be somewhere else, lay down my right to do this thing or that thing and just say, 'Lord, I'm giving it to you,' I believe that God can use me to heal somebody. I believe that God can use me to help somebody." And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of people around this globe who believes that we in this church can help them, that we can pray for them, that we can believe for them. And we come here to worship the Lord, you understand? We come here to bless his name. We come here to give him glory and give him honor. We're not looking at numbers and we're not counting heads. We come here to bless God. And yet, when we come here to bless the Lord, like John and Peter, there is this correlation between worship and healing. We're being healed as we bless the Lord, but that's not why we came. We came here to love on him. We came here to bless him. We came here to honor him. We came here to make it known among the nations that God still has a people, that there are still people who believe that God is worthy of praise, that God is worthy of honor, that God is worthy of glory. So we come just to bless him, and all of a sudden we begin to pray, and we begin to see a need. We begin to see people sometimes in our mind's eye. Sometimes we see people as we're walking down the street, and God begins to say, "That's an extension of your worship." And so we see the needs being met simply because we chose to worship. But healing doesn't just come through worshipers. It comes to worshipers or to potential worshippers. Because when the disciples began to pray for this man, a healing happened in him that facilitated praise and worship that would come forth from him. I don't know what he was doing outside of the temple. I don't know if he was hearing the muffled sounds of prayer and of singing through the walls. I don't know. I don't know if he saw people who seemed happy and they're going up to the temple and they seem to be satisfied and they seem to be living their normal life with their families and so on and so forth. I don't know what he saw. I don't know if there was maybe a muffled cry from his own heart, trying to sing along with the songs that he could never really partake of because of his malady. I don't know, but I do know this, when healing came into his life, he knew what he was healed for. I can imagine days he just thought to himself, if I could just get in there, I would worship louder than all of them. He might have said, you know, they might have even gotten a little bit used to worship, but I've been dying for it. I've been craving it. There's a reason that I'm sitting here. I could be sitting anywhere in the marketplace. I'm sitting here for a reason. And he's listening to the songs and he's watching people go through. And there's something in him that says, if I could just be healed, if I could just be healed, I would know that that healing is for the sake of praise. If I could just be healed, I would live my life for God. You remember the woman who got the healing, the woman who had the issue of blood, and she kind of got a touch of Jesus' garment, and then she's going back on her way. And I'm thinking to myself, she's probably thinking about all those things that she missed over the last 12 years. I'm going to go and get that dress that I saw in the market, right? You know what I mean? And I'm going to go and finally get a husband, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? I'm going to have some kids and all that. All the things that she couldn't do. But Jesus wouldn't let it happen, right? At least not at that moment. Those things come, they happen. But he kept calling her back. Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? What was he saying? He said, I didn't heal you for those things. Those things will happen, and they'll happen because I love you. But I healed you so that you can be a true worshiper, so that you can bless the Lord, so that you can honor him, that you can give him glory. Remember? She falls on her face and she begins to bear witness to all that he's done. Now all of a sudden she's a worshiper. She's at his feet. I think before that she didn't even realize that she might be able to worship him. She might have thought, everybody's been calling me unclean for the last 12 years. Remember he said to her, after he had already healed her, he said, woman, be healed. In fact, he called her daughter. Daughter, be healed. But she was already healed. But after 12 years of believing that she was unclean, there had to be a deeper healing. That only happens in worship. There's plenty of people who get healed and they never turn back. Remember, of the 10 Samaritans, only one turned back to give praise. But when God heals us, he heals us first for that, and then the other things will happen, those things that are in his plan, that are in his will, that are according to his name and to his character, they're going to happen. But this man probably stood outside hearing everybody worship and watching them go in their fancy clothes and all this. And something in him said, man, if I could just go in. But it would have been illegal for him to go into the temple because of his malady. But now healing came. Healing came. And when healing came, it facilitated worship because healing precedes worship. But not only does healing precede worship, but it also characterizes worship because now he's in this place and he's got something to talk about. Now he's in this temple. He goes in with them and he's worshiping because he has a heart of gratitude. But more than that, he has the capacity to worship God now. When you and I were healed spiritually, we were given an open door. You and I know what it was like to be on the outside of the temple, knowing that we were made by God for God, knowing that we should be in that temple, that we should be singing those songs, that we should be rejoicing, that we should be living in holiness and in purity. We knew that when we were out there. And every now and again, something would say to us, man, if I could ever get my life right. If I could ever do it right. And part of us would say, then I would go and I would get this job and I would do this thing and that thing. But the other part would say, I would look upon the beauty of God. And I would walk hand in hand with him. Two and two walking together because we are agreed. And I would sing the songs of Zion and my heart would be at peace and there would be joy and there would be cleanliness and there would be forgiveness and there would be love. So when this man was healed, it facilitated that. It allowed him to go into that. And then when he was in that, all he was doing was acknowledging. God healed me. God helped me. God touched me. God freed me. God gave me life. God gave me a chance. God gave me an opportunity. God took me from this place where I was begging and where I was scrounging and where I had no future and where I had no place. God took me from that place and brought me into his house, and his whole worship was based on it. You know, you and I, we talk about living forever. We could take all eternity to enumerate all of the things that God has done for us, because in those days we'll begin to see. Remember I told you how, earlier, how your body is always at war, always fighting something. We don't even know how often we are healed. We have no idea of how many fights we actually fight. We have no idea of what comes against us. Most of it we don't even see. When we get into heaven, we're going to know all of that. And we are going to be able to enumerate it over and over and over and over again. God healed me from this, and God healed me from that, and God saved me from this, and God saved me from that, and God gave me victory here and victory there. God has done a wonderful thing in my life. God has changed me from image to image, from glory to glory, from day to day. You and I, we don't even know. We don't even know the testimony we're going to give in that day. But on this side of eternity, we have a story to tell. His story. We have a story to tell. A story of his faithfulness. A story of his goodness. Everybody in this house has a reason to praise the Lord. And as we praise him for his healing, we are being further healed. From image to image. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. One grace upon another grace. This is what the Lord is doing in our lives. We are being constantly healed, constantly strengthened. There is a supernatural healing, and more than that, there is a supernatural health. Health begins to take over so that healing is not the key anymore. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so we begin to live healthily. We begin to think healthily. Not quite so many lies that have to be shot down anymore, because we are professing truth. When you profess truth, then it's always before you. I beheld the Lord always at my right hand. Therefore, I shall not be moved. The more you and I praise God, the more we profess truth, the more we bear witness to his goodness, the less likely we are to believe a lie. Because the offense is going forward to such and such a degree that we barely need a defense. The offense, we're constantly on the move. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the march of God's people. We are constantly praising him, constantly blessing him, rejoicing in the Lord always, making mention of his name, singing godly songs to one another, speaking the word of the Lord to one another, preaching to one another, bearing witness to one another, talking about the goodness of God, making mention of his name, glorifying him, thanking him. And as we do that, the lies can't even get in. You ever notice sometimes, right, you're getting ready to try to get on the subway and like 9,000 people are getting out? It's hard to get in the subway when 9,000 people are getting out. So likewise, when 9,000 words of praise are going out, it's hard to receive a lie. It's hard to believe a lie, because the praise is going forth on such and such a level. So we worship God. We bless the Lord. We praise his name, because it is a defense against every kind of lie. And then finally, healing perpetuates worship. In other words, when people watch people who are healed and who are being healed and who become healers, then they say what must have been said about this man. I know him. I remember him. That's the guy that used to sit out there. And now look at him. I know him. I remember her. That's the person that used to be like this, and that's the person that used to be like this. Now look at them. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that they began to marvel. The people that were looking, the people that, some of whom put some money in this thing out of kindness, some who just stepped right over him, and they all began to look and began to say, This God is God. Remember, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one who was called an insurrectionist, a traitor, an outlaw. But they said, I'm not afraid to identify with him. I'm going to call on his name, and I'm going to call him the Christ. I'm going to call him the King, even if it kills me. And as a result, this man was healed in that name. So when these people are beginning to give glory to God and they're beginning to praise the Lord, they are praising the Lord after that name, according to that name. And so they're being healed. When you and I choose to worship God because he's God, and we do it in a society that doesn't necessarily love him, and we say, I'm going to praise God anyway, I don't care what it costs me, then there is healing that begins to happen. There's strength that begins to happen. And then we say, part of my love of God is loving other people. And part of seeing God is seeing the need. And I'm going to do what I can to help somebody. Again, if I catch their leprosy, then that's a chance I'm taking. But I'm going to touch them, because I know that the grace of God is much greater than any sin. The Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. And I'm going to bear witness to the goodness of God, and I'm going to do what I can to help somebody along the way. And I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to defend my friends and so on and so forth, by perpetually, as our sister was singing earlier, perpetually praising God, giving thanks always, rejoicing in the Lord always, so that an army is always going forth from me, so that no soldier can get in without having to pass by an army of tens of thousands. No single lie can get in without having to pass by an army of tens of thousands of praises. Because you and I have tens of thousands of reasons to praise the Lord. And we can praise him all day, every day. Hallelujah. And defend ourselves and our friends and our families against lies. There is a direct correlation between praise, worship, and healing and health. And we simply have got to take the initiative. And it begins simply with loving that one that you already love. Loving him actively, loving him vibrantly, loving him energetically, loving him verbally, loving him demonstrably, loving him so that others can see it, loving him so that others can feel it, loving him so that others can know it, loving him in 3D, loving him. Hallelujah. That's a good title, right? Anyway, let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If God is speaking to your heart and you're simply saying, I just want to be more intentional in my worship. I want my worship to be more vibrant. I want it to be more lively. I want it to be more active. I want it to be more visible, more visual. I want people to see it. I don't want to be afraid to say God bless you to someone. I don't want to be afraid to say Jesus loves you to someone. They're going to tell you, you talk with anybody for 5 minutes, they're going to tell you everything that they believe. They're going to tell you their entire philosophy. They're going to tell you their entire worldview. There comes a time when the Christian person has got to simply say, I'm going to talk about my Jesus. I'm going to bear witness to his goodness. I'm going to praise the Lord. You never know who you might heal. You never know what kind of healing might take place in you. If you're sick, God wants to give you some more time to praise his name on this side of eternity. God wants to give you more health so that you can praise him, that you can bless him. be going through monetary difficulties. God wants to make it clear that the Lord knows how to take care of his people. God wants to make you a praise in your neighborhood. God wants to make people say, this person has the touch of God on their life. You want to pray today? Lord, I want my worship to be more vibrant, more active. Or if you want to pray, God, I need a healing. I need a touch. Relational, monetary, medical, psychological, emotional. You need a touch. We're going to believe God today. We're going to believe him for healing. And we're going to believe him for a more vibrant worship. If that's you, either one, come to the front of this auditorium. We're going to pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll wait for you on the balcony. Come on down. God bless. Praise his holy name. Do everything that you can to find ways to praise him. Whether you do it verbally, whether you do it. I like to draw. So I'll draw pictures, you know, of what I see in the Holy Scriptures. You know what I mean? I like draw people going through the Red Sea and the whole nine, you know. Some people like to write poems, you know, whatever you like to do. I don't know if y'all know that that Ivory just put out a CD, beautiful CD. I don't know if y'all heard it. It's just awesome. You know, because, you know, our pastor has said to us, you know, sing songs, especially the young people, sing songs, write songs. You know, so she took him up on his word. She wrote some songs, and they are awesome, and they're beautiful, and they are available in the back, if I'm not mistaken. I tell you, she's a godly woman, a godly woman. And everybody here, godly, precious, wonderful. You have a song. You have a poem. You can put together a beautiful picture. Or you can just walk to somebody and say, Jesus loves you. That's all. Do what you can to praise the Lord. You'll be surprised at the therapeutic, the healing aspect and element that's in that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we're praying first and foremost. We want to worship you. We want to worship you not only inwardly, we want that worship to pour out. We want it to flow, oh Jesus. And we want it to be like healing waters. And we want those waters to be deep enough to swim in. But we're also praying for physical healing, monetary healing, relational healing. We're praying, Jesus, for a supernatural touch. Lord, any person in this room who's been diagnosed, Lord, and it's been said, there's nothing that the doctors can do. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name for supernatural healing. Any relationship that's represented here where papers have actually been drawn up, Lord, and people have decided there's nothing that can be done now. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray for supernatural healing. For those who are so far in debt, it seems like there's absolutely no way out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we pray for supernatural healing. Lord, we're asking you to do what only you can do. Whatever process you use, Lord, we submit to your wisdom. But we ask you in Jesus' name to glorify your name in our lives. And in the meantime, Lord, and thereafter, we are going to simply love you, worship you, bless you, praise you, and reach out to the needs of others, Lord, because we love you. And we're going to allow ourselves to be a family because you are that one who sits at the head of this table. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.